Joe Carter will be in town for the 49th Sports Card and Memorabilia Expo. He is now the Arizona Diamondbacks special assistant. Joe, I've got to tell you, that sounds really odd to describe you as the Arizona Diamondbacks special assistant. I mean, there are people out there right now going, what?
Well, you know what? I know it does sound a little bit funny when you say Arizona, because everything I've done and what I'm known for is the Toronto Blue Jays. But, you know, I'm there with a good friend of mine in Dave Stewart,
mm-hmm.
and he's the only reason why I'm there. And it's been a pretty good relationship. We've had throughout the years, we played with each other and against one another. And now hopefully we can take it to the next level there in Arizona.
Okay, I know a little bit about Dave Stewart as a pitcher. I can remember him, covering him, teammate of yours, all that stuff. I'm trying to figure out what he would be like as a baseball administrator. Does he have the stare still? Like when he's deciding something, does he have the stare?
Yes, he has not changed one bit. When you first face Dave, what you look at his intimidation, the way that, you know, he's all about business. He's always focused. You know, when he's at on top of the mound, ready to deliver the pitch, and he's the same way in the office. I mean, even in the office, what I've noticed, he's got OCD because everything has to be a certain way. Everything has to be neat. It's all structured. And that's just the way he is. And Tony La Russa is the exact same way. So mm-hmm. those guys are very structured, and they've got to have things a certain way. So, you know, what he has done as far as when he was a pitching coach with the Padres and then the assistant general manager for the Blue Jays, he's all hands-on, and he is very serious about what he does because he, you know, he wants those guys to perform and act the same way that he did and go out there and play with confidence every single day.
So, Joe, can you describe your job as special assistant? Are you a liaison between Dave and the rest of the organization, or are you a right-hand man for Dave? How's it going?
Well, I get a chance to go and look at all the golf courses. And
nice.
I get to play them before they get the chance to play them to see if they're up to their standards.
Sweet gig.
So that's my gig.
Are you guys hiring?
What's that?
Are you guys hiring? Do you need an assistant?
No, then someone would take my job. I can't have that.
That's true.
But what I'm doing. I was up in spring training for 3 weeks. I got a chance to put the uniform on, work with the players, just talk to the hitters about hitting, about my philosophy and things that I did. Especially, you know, Tony was very, he wanted me to convey to them the things that I did, especially with runners in scoring position, because he said he always used me as an example to mm-hmm. his Cardinals with guys in scoring position. I was not up there, you know, just waiting for pitches or being less aggressive. I was aggressive in trying to get those runs in. And he wants that same approach over in Arizona. So with Dave, I was doing that for the first 3 weeks of spring training. And now that we have the number one draft pick in the whole draft this year, which is June 8th, I'm just kind of going out and kind of bird dogging all the everyday players, high school and college, and just giving my opinion as to what I think, because there's no clear cut number one this year, and there's about 10 or 15 players that, you know, if you ask 30 different teams, they would be ranked, all of them would be ranked different, 1 through 15. So there's no clear cut favorites. So he's asking me to go out and look at all these guys, and especially the everyday players, and give them my opinion on what I think.
Hey, Joe, when you go out and do this, I mean, it's always kind of surprised me because I've asked guys at times, why is it that so many scouts are guys who didn't have, I mean, they didn't have great major league careers. Some of them never played in the majors. And I was told one time, well, the reason is because you don't want a Hall of Famer using himself as a measuring stick for an 18-year-old kid, because it ain't going to work, you know? When you go out and scout, how do you ensure that the preconceived, the biases you may have had as a player, in other words, the things you knew you did well or better than most players, that doesn't enter into the evaluation process? Because a lot of times you are talking about 18 to 21-year-old kids, and who the hell knows what an 18-year-old kid's going to do in another 2 years?
Yeah, especially an 18-year-old. But mm-hmm. what I look for are the intangibles. I look for, you know, I try to go back to when I was in high school, when I was a senior, when I, you know, my first year in college, and what was I thinking? How was I, you know, reacting? How was I playing? What was I doing? And what did I need to learn? And so I will take the evaluation and look at these guys and see how they, one, how they carry themselves around their teammates. Because in baseball, you know, if you're going to be the number one pick, you want to be a great teammate because you don't want to be standoffish to all your teammates. You want to draw them in because when your number one player is a team guy, then he's going to force all the other guys around him to play that way, i.e. Michael Jordan. When, you know, Michael mm-hmm. Jordan, he practiced his butt off. And so all the guys around him, they're like, well, if the number one guy is practicing like that, we better bring our game up. And so I look for how he carries himself around his teammates. I look for how he interacts. I've talked to, you know, I've been to like four or five spots right now and seen four or five guys. And, you know, I had a chance to talk to them, how they address you, you know, how they, you know, they feel confident in their ability, you know, if they're having fun. And look at how they do things on the field. I mean, if they're out there, you know, sulking and just, you know, think they're the biggest, baddest thing out there, you know, that's not always a good fit. So I do put aside what I did in the big leagues in my career. You know, one thing about when you have the guys who are scouts who have not been there, you know, a lot of those guys really know the fundamentals because those guys have never really made it. They had to know the fundamentals to get as far as they've gotten. And sometimes a lot of the ones who it comes natural to don't know the fundamentals. So, you know, hopefully I can see those fundamentals and also see a little bit of me in those guys, because a lot of these guys I've seen, some developed, some have strictly raw potential that is just untapped, because baseball in some of the areas, you know, it's not a year-round sport. You go up to New York, you know, those guys are just starting to play to get some good weather where they can play baseball. So I eliminate what I did, and I try to just look at the intangibles. You know, talent does help, but I look at how he does things, you know, away from the batter's box, how he does in the outfield or infield, how he carries himself. Those are things that I look for.
So, Joe, you're heading to town this week for the 49th Annual Sports Card Expo, and right now on the tube we're showing your moment where you hit the home run off Mitch Williams, and, of course, that's one of those moments.
Which home run was that? I forgot.
That one. You know, that one. It's one of those moments that a lot of collectors have a picture of that moment or get you to sign a picture of that moment. My question is, do you ever know what happened, or you may know, what happened to that baseball that you hit out in 93?
Jeff and Kid, in those situations, when you know you're going to hit the ball at the ballpark, you want to make sure that you keep it in the ballpark.
It's a good move.
Treat the ball. So,
yeah.
So I made sure that when I hit the home run that it didn't go out of the ballpark, that it went just over the fence, hit the back wall, and came back to my our bullpen catcher, John Sullivan. And then he presented it to me after the game. So I have that ball.
See, you have that baseball still.
Yes. Yeah, I still have that baseball. And a few years back, Charlie Sheen came to my tournament. And we went to his house, spent the night there. And we got to talking to him. He's got a great collection. He offered me $1 million for the baseball.
Wow. I would have sold it.
No.
So it's not for sale then?
No, it's not for sale. I told my wife, as long as we have that baseball, we'll never be broke.
That's so very true.
God knows where it would end up if you gave it to Charlie Sheen.
No, he's
got a great collection.
Charlie is a huge baseball fan. I mean, you talk about a smart individual about baseball, because he grew up watching the Cincinnati Reds in Dayton, Ohio.
All right.
And, we'd go out to dinner, and he's telling me all these things about baseball situations. I'm like, I don't remember that. He says, Joe, you got to remember that. I'm like, no, I didn't study the game that much. I mean, he knew every single thing about the game of baseball and when things happen. So, no, if he got something like that, he would definitely keep it for sure.
Joe, it was great to talk to you. Thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
All right. I'll see you guys at the show in Toronto coming up this Saturday. So looking forward to seeing everybody.